Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Roger, it's Brian. Look, I know this sounds a little far-fetched, but I want you to meet me every night between October the 21st to December the 18th at 7:30 p.m. at a place called the Menier Chocolate Factory in London Bridge. Some days at 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. People are going to watch us, a bit like a zoo or whatever, and I'll give you a cut. If you do want to find out more, look at the internet, menierchocolatefactory.com. Speak soon. Bye.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Dance number 6 was AJ and Kai doing the Argentine Tango.
Oh my God. Mm. Oh my God. Did you love this? I loved this.
I really, really, really loved it. I actually thought the song by Stevie Nicks didn't help them massively. I don't think
17.
It,
no, there's not quite enough build in it, is there?
No, no.
Like the drama, but it was still it's a great song. But yeah,
they were really good. I think it was that thing of the music stopped it being great somehow.
Yeah, I know what you mean. If it perhaps a more iconic song, I don't know what, but there's lots of really good choices for Argentine Tango in the past. Something really kind of dramatic.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
But there was a bit, Julia, where she was facing away from Kai, mm-hmm. and then she wrapped her leg round the back of his head, looking the opposite direction.
I remember it well.
I mean, it's like she's sort of done a deal with Satan and said, remove the legs, replace them with snakes that look like legs.
Right, it's like maybe it's like that Death Becomes Her deal where, you know, yes. you push her down the stairs, she falls into an unspeakable tangle of limbs, yeah. and then just clicks them all back into place again.
It was brilliant. And I mean, I actually find it difficult when I see her dance to connect her with AJ Adudu, the TV presenter.
I know that kind of, oh, who did you say she reminded you of when she was speaking? She's speaking with somebody like an elderly northern man's voice.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she's this incredible, sophisticated, just incredible mover on the dance floor.
Just astonishing.
My favourite move is that in, obviously, Gantt shows, I love Gantt shows, that's the kicky leg, like, I'm going to trip you over kind of thing.
Yeah.
That they do with their legs and their knees bent and then kicking between each other's legs, which is very sexy. Mm. But the other thing I really like is, you know, when she's kind of like in hold, and then and it looks so easy, but it must be so hard. You must have such a strong core. She kind of ends up upside down with her kind of legs bent and slightly apart in midair.
Yes.
And every time she does it, I say, BMX! BMX! Because it's like someone's done that thing with their handlebars and jumped over a big heap of mud on BMX. I love it. So the BMX bits are my favourite, along with the Gantt shows.
Oh.
My favourite dance by far. I think lots of people feel that way.
Yeah.
Also, just because they're constantly like almost nose to nose. And then right at the end, they really did look like they were going to have full sex.
Yeah.
Like, it was incredibly
completely. The judges raved about it as well. I mean, Anton said just terrific. Craig said the amount of Argentine tango content in this was off the chart.
Yeah.
And Shirley said it was world championship level.
Motsi just said a lot of gibberish. Like, this was her always once a show. And it is in her second language. I get that. But she just talks like a stream of gibberish that never quite gets to a full sentence structure. I loved it.
No. Well, I mean, the result of that, of course, was that they got 2 8s, a 10 and a 9, which put them one mark below Tilly.
I thought the 8s were cowardly and ridiculous, and how on earth could that be worse?
I completely agree.
No. Full of personality, her performance is off the scale.
The only justification for that is the sense that they are going, you are better, and if we neg you now,
you know,
imagine how good you'll come back next week, so long as it doesn't crush your spirit.
yes, exactly. God.
Dangerous level.
But Shirley said it was world championship level, some of the stuff that she was doing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, to my layman's eyes, I just thought that was pretty much a 10 across the board.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I thought, you know, they are spectacular. I like the two of them so much.
Yeah, do you remember when we thought yep. he was just like
Kai was an old man.
Do you know how old Kai's dad is? Do you remember it being his dad's birthday like about 2 weeks ago?
Oh my God, how old was he?
Happy 50th, Dad.
Jesus
Christ.
I mean, but if Kai looks like that at 26, his dad must look like, is W.H. Auden's ball bag. Dance number 7, Ugo and Oti doing the rumba.
Yes.
He was back after a week out with a bad back.
Yeah, and this was, I mean, I don't know how they decide the running order, but I guess this was less cruel than putting them first.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he'd been out for a week, and it's the dance of death, like, especially if you're a man, but even, you know, for women celebrities too, the rumba is traditionally the hardest, the most exposing.
Yeah.
And if you're not really getting good by rumba week, then you're stuffed. And unfortunately, that turned out to be the case.
Yeah. It was certainly by the standard of everything else on this show, clearly the worst dance.
It was unfortunate that, you know, I mean, maybe, and also the week out didn't help him, but everybody else is so much better than him now, and he was literally a refugee from about week two this week.
He felt it, didn't he?
And he wasn't even that bad. It was just like nowhere near the incredibly high standards set by the others.
That's it in a weird way, isn't it? It's almost like if they'd have taken a real risk and done a mad routine that was just like, you know, really, really poorly conceived. That's one thing, but to go in and try and do something that should have been quite, you know, just if you like, tame,
yeah,
and for it to be that bad, I mean, that was a disaster. I also liked the fact that they came dressed as the 1970s, two coffee coloured velour sofas suddenly being made into suits.
I also enjoyed Anton again, because I think he's an autodidact. That's what it is. And once he's decided the pronunciation of something, that's it. It's just stuck in his head. Still calls her Otty when everybody else calls her
Otty. Otty.
Just really, that's not her name.
I'm not going to go into this greengrocer's because you've got signs up where the food is available in kg. I only work still in ounces and pounds. Dance number 8, John and Johannes.
Oh my God,
doing a Charleston. Oh, Julia,
just, I mean, obviously they've realized, and apart from, he looks pretty good in hold too, but I guess they have, that's the one thing they've ever been told to work on, is that they should get their sort of hold sorted out. Any side by side you give that man, this guy is a baker, an amateur baker at that, who's presumably turned professional now because, you know, he does it all the time.
Yeah.
But his side by side, his mirroring of his professional partner is exemplary. At some points during this, I thought it was CGI'd. It was precision on point.
Brilliant, wasn't it? The only thing I was disappointed by was when they first appeared, I thought they dressed them as the sort of sailors from Jean-Paul Gaultier campaigns. I thought, yeah, good. This is gonna be disgusting. And what a dance. They did turn out to be a couple of bakers. But,
yep.
I mean, just the sort of epitome of joy in dance, wasn't it? That it
just lovely.
The people doing it are having a great time. You watch it and it's impossible not to feel happy and to smile. And it wasn't emotional in any way, but it was 100% delightful.
They made it look so much fun, but that must be incredibly hard. It's fast. His shaping is exactly the same as the professional dancer. You know, it's just incredible. They were dancing at some point. I like that Craig saying, I really liked your baguettography. They managed to do dancing with baguettes, and it didn't ever become like carry on up your, you know.
No,
Baker. It was really, really good.
It was, had this happened like in the first week, I think we would have said, oh, look, it's the traditional don't be frightened of the gay people routine, but the fact that
the one that kind of, yeah,
the fact that they've sort of, you know, they've shown all of those great dancers, and they've shown they aren't shying away from, you know, having same-sex couples dancing exactly the same way as differing sex couples.
Yeah, exactly.
You can then do this dance and you can just go, you take it totally on its terms, there's no agenda here, and Jesus Christ, it was great. I mean, it was good.
It was perfection, and they set it up really nicely as well in the VT beforehand, with you know, Johannes saying that the Charleston was popularized by African Americans, in America, and also that it was often danced by male partnerships, all male partnerships.
It was great to politicise it.
Dance.
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
Politicising something which is the only one, if you like, that wasn't overtly challenging to people who are homophobic.
Wasn't confronting people.
Yeah,
exactly.
So they made it clear in the setup that it should. I thought that was brilliant.
I love their commitment to that. They're just quietly but firmly saying this is now the normal.
Yeah.
Get used to it. And I'm just really on board with it.
Yeah.
They got two tens. So Shirley and Anton both held tens aloft. The other two gave them nines.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to find anything wrong with it. They said it was amazing.
Yeah.
Craig said it was amazing.
Moxie called them the couple to beat. And I think, you know, they really have been, I think, from day one. I mean,
I agree.
They are the couple to beat. And it just seems inconceivable at this stage that they I'm not even going to jinx it. Let's just say it seems inconceivable they won't be here in week six, because I don't want to jinx it any more than that. But I think we all know where I'm going.
We can confidently say there will be here in week six. Now, obviously, that's all great. We've talked about the dancing. We now have to talk about the next thing that happened.
The pub landlady of the Eagle and Child.
I'm going to suggest that a woman called Shirley has woken up this morning wondering what the fuck's going on, because her phone's full of messages.
Yeah.
Local news crews are outside her house.
Absolutely. Going on to Redbubble and seeing all the people who have mocked up the T-shirts. Tell me, let me relive this wonderful moment of primetime BBC One.
So in a delightful moment, and they managed to get probably now they're regretting how good the internet connection was for this particular live feed. They went straight to, was it John's local pub? It was certainly his friend's front room.
Yeah.
It was full of very happy people.
His local pub that he says he spends all his time in.
Exactly, because he clearly has a drinking problem. And certainly his friend does. Anyway, but she was enjoying the show with a pub full of people. She looked like she'd probably, you know, it was loose enough to have maybe had a couple of drinks watching the show, and they asked her through the cheering and the noise, and she unfortunately did hear the question, what did you think of that? And she stumbled over her words for a bit, said something about the dance, and then just said, I mean, I'm wet.
There was a long pause, and I think people around her were like, oh my God, oh no. And I don't think she realised, because there was a pause, and then she went, with the sweat, but the gap between the two. I don't think she set it up as a bit of naughty fun. I think it was a genuine mistake.
I am
amazed that the BBC didn't press the delay button on that. That they didn't go, we've got a 2-second window, because when she said, I'm wet, everyone just went, is she going to, no, nothing else coming, no, it is just that.
Like, pretend the connection died. I really thought
it was immediately going to go out, and Claudia would just go, well, we didn't manage to catch that at all. if you think you did, you're wrong. But I mean...
Even my child, who's only 12 and shouldn't know what such things mean, looked at me and said, did she really say that? No.
I mean, there is something funny, isn't there, about... It's just funny that if you were in any other circumstance of life and somebody said that, you'd sort of go, yeah. When it's on television, you're like, this is the best thing ever. The best thing ever. Why we're not allowed to be our true selves on television is one of the great mysteries of the medium.
I know. It's true. It's like a real treat. When Anton says something, you know, real about hating Latin dancing, or, you know, it's thrilling, because you're not allowed to pierce that veneer. It's got to be maintained at all times. It's absolutely thrilling.
But it did make me go, that pub looked absolutely tremendous. But
it looked like sounding, a lot of fun.
It really did. I can understand why he's there every night. He might not even drink. It's just you've got to go down because something is going to happen.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Scott Hancock, and I host From Queer to Eternity, a new podcast exploring what it means to be queer, where we have conversations like this.
I look at younger generations and go, you can just Google this stuff.
The fact that the only mention of queerness was don't get AIDS.
If I'd been marrying a girl, that would not have happened.
Maybe we can find a universality that we weren't aware of before.
That's why this podcast is so great, because actually, well, I guess we just don't think to speak of this stuff, and yet it's part of our fabric.
From Queer to Eternity, available to listen to now from the Great Big Owl Company.
Dance number 9 was Rosie and Giovanni in the Viennese Waltz.
Oh, how to make a waltz not boring.
Oh, an acted dance for a change. Oh, we haven't seen a bit of acting.
It was such a highlight, wasn't it? I mean, as well, following those two, it's such a tough, literally a tough act to follow.
Yeah.
But this is a Viennese waltz. So, you know, traditionally that's just lots and lots of spinning. It was to Falling by Alicia Keys. Mm. I was expecting something frothy and beautiful. And they had a full on, like, sexy row.
They did.
Which you'd normally perhaps more often expect in a passo.
Yeah.
And they incorporated, I mean, Gio's choreography was brilliant. Gio, I'm like, he's my mate. He's my mate, just Gio. But his choreography was fantastic, and her acting is just brilliant. She will get so much work after this show.
Complete. Look, again, it is just unbelievable that she is doing this without hearing the music.
Incredible.
I mean, that is so unbelievable, the way she did this. And then, you know, that would be if you were a fully hearing person.
I never remember she's deaf when she's dancing.
You don't. And you have to slightly remember afterwards. You go, oh, and holy shit.
She has to come back to the judges and then start looking at the interpreter again to understand what they're saying to her.
Completely
like, oh,
that.
Yeah, she can't hear.
I mean, you know, she got a 9, a 10 and 2 9s for 37.
Yeah.
I think everyone, when they hold up their paddle, Tess should walk over and go, don't forget that she can't hear the fucking music, guys.
Genuinely.
And they should go, yeah, oh, I'm sorry, that was really disrespectful. Here's a 10. You know?
Literally. It was her highest score yet. So again, this upward trajectory is, it's all going in the right direction. We are still really early on. This is going to be, I think it's like a 2 weeks before Christmas or a week before Christmas this finishes. So pace yourselves, everyone. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I would have given that all 10s. It was so Jordan.
I loved the fact that it really spoke to Shirley, because it reminded her of her tumultuous relationship with her ex-husband.
Do you know, it's brilliant, because have you watched the Jackie Collins documentary on Netflix?
No.
So there's a brilliant, I think it's called Lady Boss or Girl Boss or something silly like that, but it's actually a really good documentary about the life of Jackie Collins. You kind of immerse yourself in that shoulder pads kind of lucky bitches world. It's really, really fun. And she's a remarkable character in it as well. But now all I can see is Shirley is a character in a Jackie Collins novel.
Absolutely.
And she would have had tempestuous stud and bitch-like relationships with dreadful bad men who drove her wild in bed. It just completely spoke
the Scarborough Joan Collins, isn't it? It's I mean, she is. You do look at her and you do sort of go, and I'm sure, she, you know, as they did mention, her autobiography is available.
Obviously.
But I did find myself going, I bet that's an exciting life she's had.
I reckon so. Oh, I think there was a big fuss made when she was given the job, because it's the BBC and they're trying to find stuff to kick them with, that she'd, you know, definitely had at least one extramarital affair. I mean, as far as I know, all the dancers are doing it all the time, aren't they? That's just how you live life as a dancer.
I would say I've met a handful of people in my time working with the BBC who haven't been absolutely morally reprehensible.
Brilliant. See, we've had it straight from the horse's mouth. They're all at it all of the time. But no, I think she's had a really interesting life, and just seems to be one of those self-starting women that's always got something interesting in her past. I think I'd like to read her book.
And also a thrilling sort of period of British history that basically goes from World War II throughout the sort of, you know, 20th century. Maybe she is one of the great historical figures of our time. We
Get
will
rid
find
of Winston
out.
Churchill statue, as we know now, who's in Genesis. Replace him with Shirley Ballas.
I have no problem with that. No problem at all. And finally, dance number 10 was Reese and Nancy doing the American Smooth.
Yeah, an incredible. And again, really like the styling of this. They were, but in the old days, this would have been airline pilot and sexy stewardess.
Yeah.
Dancing around probably a trolley full of, you know, mini bottles of wine.
Yep.
They were both dressed as airline pilots on a layover.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It was that kind of like, again, a bit of a Gautier advert thing going on there.
It felt very stylized and very, completely. Very sexy. You know, it's funny how we always have to go, you have to be American pilots because British pilots, not sexy.
Yeah. I just think Nancy looked dynamite as well. I loved her styling in this. I think, you know, she's moving so fast, you normally can't see what she's wearing, but
yeah.
she looked really classy, incredibly sort of fashion in this. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, it was, I thought it was really good. There were a couple of bits where he lost his balance.
But it was so fast.
Yeah, and it was only really noticeable because the rest of it was flawless. That it stuck out like a thumb because you were going, the rest of it is so incredible. It seemed here like the timing of the show had completely gone off whack.
Yeah,
because it felt like they had 15 minutes suddenly that they didn't know what to do with.
They were padding a bit.
They got the judges to give them such a long critique when they were out on the floor. And they were just, you know, Anton was sort of going, it was very, very good. And I was a bit like, you're looking for things. You can't say to them, that was great. Fantastic. Because you're trying to go, oh God, I've got to give 3 minutes on this. They were very, very critical of him throughout this whole thing in a way that wasn't reflected in the marks they gave him.
No, I think that's why they got to the end of the very long judging and he was surprised to get all eights because he was like, I was prepared for sixes.
Yeah.
Because they really pulled them apart. I think, unfortunately, if you're the last dance of the night... And there is some time left over if they've buggered up the timings in any way. And I'm guessing, you know, with one dancer out, this is what happens, that the timing of the show, depending on when Judy was announced she wasn't dancing, they're having to very late on kind of pad and fill, and there must be all hell breaking loose in the gallery when the timings don't line up. But I felt like they were all filling madly.
Yeah. And then when he went to speak to Claudia, he did about... another sort of like 7 minutes there, just back and forth. There was a little cut to his friends. He goes over to their house every Saturday night to watch a movie.
That's right, with their child.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit weird. It's sort of like when you're a single man and you go over to a married couple's house with a kid.
Yes, I wondered about that.
That's a bit like, Reese, get out, meet some people. You know, go out and have some
nice
fun.
To have. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It made me sort of think, you know, I think Reese needs to live a little. and I pitied him. I felt sorry for him.
But obviously something, I mean, and I don't think it was just the fault of them, because, you know, normally going last, it puts you in pretty good stead. Obviously, we know now he ended up in the dance-off, which is obviously, in terms of quality of dancing, absolute boo-hickey.
Yeah.
But, you know, the luck of the draw, the public vote obviously wasn't with him. And lots of people are getting eights and nines this week, so he wasn't sort of like topping the leaderboard.
No.
But I would have assumed he'd be fairly popular. But again... you can be brilliant at dancing and then not quite emotionally connect with the audience.
Absolutely.
And I think he's one that's slipped through.
Young guy with a new pro who doesn't have her own fan base, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's young. Let's not forget as well, he's also a young man of colour. And this is a reality show. And that can be a revolting pitfall for a competitor with the British public.
Well, we know Judy Love keeps getting in the dance-off. Ugo, we know now, went this week. I don't have high hopes for Judy next week.
No, I'd have said...
Whoever she's in the dance-off with now, I think, unless it's Dan Walker, she's got no chance again. So.
I think there are a sort of combination, aren't there, really, of... people who are going to be going over the next few weeks. We're just going to be working out what week they go out in.
There are going to be some nasty shocks, I think, now, because there's no cannon fodder left, Mark.
Well, I don't know, though. I mean, you know...
Dan Walker, notwithstanding.
It's Dan Walker and Judy Love, really. I think the judges are never going to save them over the other people who are in that.
Oh, heck no.
But, yeah, I mean, there is going to be... I think after you get rid of, really, Judy and Dan Walker... as soon as we get them, then it's hunting season. The blood sports begin, and I couldn't be happier.
It's going to be a lot more bloody fun, isn't it?
Isn't it? John and Johannes.
Standing the body count, be nice.
John and Johannes topped the leaderboard with 38, and Rose and Giovanni underneath them with 37.
Just behind them, yeah.
Yeah, the two lowest were Ugo, who did go, and Sarah and Aliash, which was a big change from last week.
Again, because we know now she's the ultimate Strictly contestant, even if she's at the bottom of the leaderboard every week for the next, well, from here till Christmas, I still think the votes will do a certain amount to keep her in. It doesn't necessarily mean she'll get to the final. Mm. But when she gets a ballroom, she's right back up there, isn't she? So I don't know. I think... her popularity will only take her so far, I think.
Yeah. I think we're going to be seeing over the next few weeks, it's going to be, I'm going to go for an order on this. Mm. I think it's going to be, possibly Judy might stay in, you know, the judges might take pity on her when she comes back.
I think she might not be in the dance-off next week, so I think Dan Walker will be.
And I think he'll be up there against Adam Peaty.
Yes, maybe. If they do a dance the public don't particularly like, the public seems quite fickle with those two.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if they have a down week, I haven't seen the phone votes. I don't get the impression they're the most popular phone vote couple.
I really like Katya.
I know you do. I love her. I don't want her choreography or indeed her to go anywhere.
No.
But I'm not sure how much charisma he's got.
I'd like next season for them just to have her dance with herself. I'd like them to clone herself.
Yes.
And I'd
like
the two of them to just prowl all over each other. I don't care whether or not they're part of the competition. Just want to see it every week.
How quickly you forget. Karen's gone for a week and now it's all Katya, Katya, Katya.
Karen had her chance. She blew it.
She very much did.
Yes. Well, look, until next week, we hope you don't blow your chance or whatever. I mean, whatever floats your boat.
That was lame.
I'm like Anton.
If you're still going to bring the criticism to Tess Daly next week for her off the cuff remarks, when you just pull that out your ass.
Off the cuff.
I'm sorry.
Like a jacket potato. zing! I'm testing it to the max. We will see you next week. Thank you very, very much for listening. Please do tell people about the show. You can just get on social media and just go, you know what the best thing in the world is? It's the Curse of Strictly podcast.
You know what? Some people do that on Twitter and we love them.
Very nice. It does make a surprising difference. Until next time, thank you very, very much. We've been Mark and Julian. This is the Curse of Strictly. Would you like to do the end bit? I like you doing the end bit.
All right, yes, I will do it.
Hooray!
I don't know where this is going to go. It could go little keep a key. Keep dancing. Someone actually recorded you doing this last week and said it was 16 seconds.
Oh, that new personal best.
I can't beat that. I've got a bit of a cough. Oh. It's not COVID.
Yeah, you won't be on the show next week. Okay then, everyone. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and each week myself, Mark Haynes, and a guest sit and discuss and analyse some television. So far, so podcast. But the difference is that we discuss a particular corner of television that you've never watched, and nor will you ever, because it's awful. That's right, it's TV's The One Show. Join us as we gleefully take it apart every week, taking a deep dive into TV's shallowest programme. You don't have to like The One Show or have ever seen it. To be honest, it's probably best if you don't and haven't. So join us as we take the bullet for you in what The Guardian say is the creme de la creme of obscure stuff to stick in your ears, the big issue call really funny, and Popovich write, is a joy. The One Show, wherever you... Oh, you know the rest.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.